Welcome. welcome.
Yes.
Great to have you with us today, Devon.
Yes.
I like your name, Devon.
Yes.
Almost like, I don't know.
French.
A little French, Devon.
Little French, yeah.
Yes. Great to have you with us today, always.
Yes.
We've done this a few times.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always exciting to me because I never really know, in the sense that I've planned something specifically out, what's going to happen when we sit down and begin to talk. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We'll begin to talk about the word of God and
what
God is saying and doing, because the scriptures tell us the word is alive. So it's not static. It's not stationary. It's constantly creating, constantly doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And the word is God. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. Word was with God. That's Christ. Same as in the beginning with God. And all that word, all that reality of who Christ is in us. And that's God's, if you will, that's God's heartbeat, that's God's will, is to impart to us, and that's kind of a two-party relationship, impart into us or imparting into us his word. Mm-hmm. And his word isn't just something that we say. It takes on form, image, reality, attitude, all those great things that make us who we are. So, Devon, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
What's on your mind today?
Jesus.
Best of the best.
I just had the best experience in traffic driving here.
Yeah, it was busy both ways.
And most people are mad in traffic. You know, you look over and faces are looking sour. But man, my head was in the Jesus cloud this morning.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Just so your eyes are on the road.
Yeah.
Head in the cloud, eyes on the road. Yeah, you know, it's a great time to exercise a number of things. One is temperance.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And attitude. And
yes.
If you believe your steps are ordered of the Lord,
yes.
You're never running late.
Yes.
Yeah, now that's not,
oh,
you know, that's not a tuck away for somebody to just
it was
say,
so
well, good.
It's a good
excuse.
There was not a complaint, not a,
Well, we were complaining here, but other than that, Jonathan was complaining.
I said, Lord, we're going to make the best of this. This is awesome.
No,
but I'm glad
great.
To be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here.
Last time I was here, what a great experience. It was
we had
so
a great
good.
Time. Yeah.
We had some revelation flowing. And
I love revelation. I think we're talking about prophecy today is what we
I want to talk
you
about
mentioned.
Prophecy.
You know, when we come here to do these podcasts, I exercise what I believe. Our steps are ordered of the Lord. So they're not planned out and arranged. We sit down with an idea or a thought of what we want to take place, you know, or what we're interested in, what the theme may be, what's God been talking to you about, what's been on your heart, what have you been praying about. So that's what we're going to do today. And you sat down and said, I'd really like to talk about prophecy.
Yeah.
So prophecy is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And it helps keep you sharp too.
It does.
You don't have time
it
to
does.
Plan. You
it
know,
does.
You just, you believe and listen
be
and go.
Be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I want to hear. I want to hear some stories from, maybe some personal stories. I mean, when did you first get exposed? Let's do that. Like, when was your first memory of prophecy? Like, how old were you?
Ooh, probably about 11 years old.
Wow.
I didn't grow up with a prophetic surrounding. I didn't know anything about prophecy. Mm. Really didn't know a lot about being filled with the Spirit or a lot of those things, and got introduced to the church early through a situation, and that situation appeared to be pretty negative. My sister, she was about 5 years of age at the time, ended up with a bowel obstruction.
Younger sister?
I'm about 5 years her senior. And so I was 9, 10 years old. She was 4.5, 5, somewhere right around in there. And it was a very serious condition. We ended up rushing her to the hospital. And she went through a very serious operation. And doctor didn't know whether she's going to live or die. Five-year-old daughter. You know, of course, my father had already passed away. But my mom, of course, it was very, very traumatic for the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
Just seemed like one night she was having a stomach ache. Next morning, there she is in the hospital. And they didn't know, they being the doctors, whether she's going to live or die. You know, her intestines had just really had rotted, is what they said. And just serious, a lot of infection. So anyway, moving forward, so we're not just wallowing in all the gory part. She was in the hospital, and my cousins had said to us, let's pray for your sister. Why don't you go to church with us? I'm just a kid. And my mom thought that was a good idea. Let's go to church and pray, because she remembered that back when she was a child, that there was an incident. I don't recall exactly what that incident was, but some believers prayed mm-hmm. and God healed and answered the prayer. And I can't even talk about specifically what that was. Yeah. I don't remember.
When your mom was
when my child. Mom was a child, she had gone through something. Mm-hmm. I think she was pregnant, mm-hmm. and there were some issues. Some believers came in, prayed for her, God healed her. So moving forward, now I don't know that this was very prominent in her mind during this time, but she remembered later on mm-hmm. when my sister became ill that, hey, you can pray for people and God will heal. You know, when there's little hope, you know, on the physician's side, then you call on the great physician.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So my mom remembered that. So she said, yeah, go. So we went to church. We, being my brother and myself, went with some friends, went to church, my cousins. And they prayed for my sister. And I remember the service being very unusual to me. The only service I had been in prior to that was Catholic service. We'd mm-hmm. go, we'd pray, you know, pray the rosary. And, you know, Catholic was a bit different than mm-hmm. than a kind of a full gospel mm-hmm. evangelistic meeting. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were
just
in.
Just a little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit different. all great. You know, yeah. I ministered to some amazing Catholics, had some great Catholic friends, and ministered in Catholic churches.
Yeah,
and
same here.
People love God, have a heartbeat for God. But just the culture mm-hmm. of worship and all it was different. So God, we prayed and God touched my sister, healed her. And that night,
was it an instant, quick?
It, yes and no. It was how instant it was. I don't know, but
mm-hmm. that's a whole nother thing. Yeah,
instant as in the sense that she began to recover, which was not the case. Wow. You know, she had an incision that was dressed, but the wound was open because they couldn't sew her back together yet. Mm-hmm. They needed to wait for that infection to clear up, and that was their hope, and it wasn't happening. They prayed, and the infection just started to go away. She revived, was well, and to this day, she's healthy, strong. So God did a wonder in her life. Yeah. But what changed my mind was the experience I had going there to pray for my sister. And Devon, I didn't even know what praying for someone meant. I mean, how do you do that? You know, you pray, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be mm-hmm. your name, or Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, I hadn't really learned a personal experience with calling out on God and saying, Father or Lord in Jesus' name, or I come before you in faith or pray. You know, I didn't have a prayer vocabulary. Mm-hmm. So I remember sitting there being in the church on one of the pews, very unaware of what was going on, other than we were going there believing for a miracle. You know, did miracles even happen? I wasn't really exposed to this type of faith and mm-hmm. belief, in the sense that I knew really what was going on, but they did. They mm-hmm. being the believers, and they prayed wow. and believed, and God touched and healed my sister. Short story. What happened to me was I felt something very unusual. I felt a calm and peace in the middle of all this chaos. You know, you're a young kid, your sister's very sick, in the hospital, mom's upset, family's upset. Right. You know, you're a kid and it's just, you know, your world's turned upside down. You don't know how to think about anything. So of course I was upset at that point in time, didn't really know what was going on, what the outcome was going to be. And just this great peace and calm came over me. And I literally felt the Lord, again, unaware of anything to do with being saved, being born again. I wouldn't even known what those words were implying. I didn't know what they meant. But I just felt this drawing up to the altar. Now, they had had an altar call. So some people had went up to the altar, and I'm just sitting there going, what's going on? Wondering what is taking place. And I feel this urge. I mean, if someone could have grabbed my soul mm-hmm. and pulled me up to the altar, that's what it felt like. Wow. Probably the best description I know of. Wow. And I felt just drawn to the altar. And I remember just going down on my knees and just weeping there before God or before the altar. And just this transformation took place inside of me. Now, again, I wasn't aware of what was going on. Didn't have a specific prayer I prayed, but God just came, got me.
Wow.
The Spirit of the Lord just came and got me. Went up the altar, fell down, and I don't even remember what I said. I remember one of my cousins saying, we've been waiting and believing for this for a long time. And I'm thinking, waiting and believing for what? For a long time. So we're in the car, we're going back home, and someone in the car said, "Wow, what happened to you?" And I remember saying, "I don't know. I just feel different." And that was my introduction to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So the Spirit of God can and will come and get you.
Mm.
I was certainly surrendered. I was certainly hungry. I was certainly looking for an answer, looking for an answer to the situation for my sister. I wasn't really thinking about myself at all. But God, He dealt with both. He saved me and healed my sister. Later on, we began to go to church. My sister's healed. We knew why. We knew God had healed her. We knew it was a miracle from the hand of Almighty God. So, of course, we became engaged in going to church, me, my whole family. And I started learning about Christ and being born again and realized, wow, I was born again. Spirit of God came and drew me without even realizing what was taking place. Now, I believe, according to the Word, you have to believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Mm.
And I did that, became born again by prayer, faith of prayer in Christ, became baptized, and I began to learn and understand what that experience was that took place in my life. But the one thing I know that I know happened to me that made the difference is I was surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any place to go. I didn't have anything else to believe in.
Wow.
I didn't know what to believe. I didn't know what to do. All I knew is if you can go to church and you can ask God to heal and He does, then I'm all in. And He did. And so God will nudge us, letting us know, I'm here, I'm with you, I'm God, and I can do things
mm-hmm.
that you wouldn't even imagine I can do. So trust me. And so it was a matter of trust and just surrender to God. Surrender, I believe, to be the key word. Just mm-hmm. surrender to God. Changed my life, began to learn about Christ. I became filled with the Holy Spirit, became hungry for the Word of God. I used to read the Word all the time as a kid.
Hmm.
I'd just read. I had all these notes I'd write down.
Wow.
I wasn't preaching or anything. I just wrote these notes. I just had this hunger. I mean, the Spirit of God came. It touched me. It changed me. What was that? I wanted to know more about who He was and what that was and what happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, why did I go down to the altar not knowing what was going on, praying for my sister, and God addressed me, my soul, my life, and it just changed me. Changed the way I thought, changed the way I felt, and it was pretty immediate. Now, the growth took a minute. You know, we continue to learn, we continue to grow, but surrender would be the key I would use. And sometimes we're only surrendered, you know, which I could say the term, unfortunately, when we're in a situation that we're just upside down in, or we just are afraid, concerned, worried, bewildered. We don't know where to go or what to do, and God is always there.
Yeah.
But I found something in the midst of that that I believe to be even a better way to address situations.
Mm-hmm.
And thus the phrase, drive yourself to your knees so you won't be driven to your knees. So if you'll drive yourself to your knees, you can escape a lot of being driven to your knees, because God loves you and He'll do whatever it takes to get to your heart, to let you know that He is God with you, because we have to acknowledge Him by faith. And so if we're talking about prophecy, God had foretold my destiny, as He has everyone that will believe. But prophecy isn't a given in the sense that because God wants certain things to take place in our lives, they're just automatically going to happen. That's not really prophecy in that sense.
That's good.
The Word says it's not His will that any should perish, but a lot of people choose to disregard God's will and God's Word. So we're responsible for being surrendered to the will of the Father, and that's the beginning of prophecy.
Were you always... So you had that experience. Let me say that. Did you have... evangelists and people like that coming to your church, prophesying over your life about things that you're doing now? I mean, are those things that...
Honestly, not a lot. No, I really didn't have a lot. I became hungry. I remember praying, I mean, wanting to know the Lord before I went to church, but didn't know. I had my rosary. I had, the vocabulary to pray, the Our Fathers and Hail Marys, Our Father who art in heaven. It's in the Word. I prayed that, but I didn't understand. I didn't have a relationship with God, but I had a hunger. I really did. I had a hunger for God. And I remember wanting to know more. So when I became born again, I just got hungry. I didn't have a lot of people coming in prophetically speaking into my life. One of the first I remember is after I had already been ministering, one of the first times I remember someone prophetically speaking into my life, and I'm probably about 21 years old at that point in time.
Wow.
But I had read the word. And
it was alive.
Yeah, prophecy was alive in me.
Yeah.
You know, I read about the prophetic word of Christ coming into the world. You know, I read about Christ speaking. I read about the prophets of old, Elijah and Elisha. And so I became educated through the word about prophecy. And I was hungry because I wanted such a personal relationship with God that I could hear him talk to me personally. And so I was hungry for that. And so I sought the word of the Lord. I sought the voice of God, and he revealed himself to me, just like he did the first day I encountered the Holy Spirit
when
he grabbed my soul and took me up to the altar.
I love this. So let me, I had to get this out of my heart because I love the fact that, well, I'll say this. It feels like sometimes people, especially if they grow up in a prophetic culture.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just waiting for someone else to speak something prophetically.
Yeah.
But what I heard right now was your hunger itself was enough.
Yeah, really was.
But it was the prophetic spirit like moving in you, and that's enough.
It's enough. I didn't have anyone come up and say, God has anointed you to, you know, to preach the gospel. You know, there was a pastor early on that traveled. He was a pastor slash evangelist, so he traveled. And at the age of 12, he asked me, I was 12 years old, he asked me if I'd take the Sunday service, and I'm like,
12?
At 12. And I thought, wow, I didn't know. So I thought, I'll preach. And at that time, we were in he had turned his garage into a church, and it's just a little church in a garage. So I said, So I thought, what do I preach on? And I preached on Noah's Ark, God preparing the people. I got up and preached. So that was my introduction. You know, no one came up to me and said, I see you're anointed to preach a gospel. I see you're prophetically called and anointed. None of that happened. It was my hunger for God that opened the door for me. And at the age of 21, a pastor prophesied very, very accurately, very profoundly, powerfully. And it was at the age of 21, I heard my prophetic call. And some of the things I still remember that he said, I'm just like, wow. I was set back on my heels and thought, man, this is incredible. I mean, I know about prophecy, and I have prophetically spoken into people's lives.
So that's what I was, I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking, were you prophesying even before people had already started speaking over you? Were you already doing it?
Most certainly. That I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for a minute. Actually, from the age of, you know, teenage years, I don't know what, 13, 14 years old, I just I was hungry for God. I was hungry for the Word. I spent a fair amount of time in the Word and prayer just seeking God. I was hungry for what just took place in my life. I wanted to know what it was, what it meant. I wanted more. Paul says, I pray for you continually. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better, that you may know him more. So that was my heartbeat. I want to know you more. So no, I never, and I guess I wouldn't even have put it together until you asked the question. I hadn't really had a lot of prophetic word regarding my call until that day. Pastor, you know, and we were I was in a church. God spoke to me. I'll tell you, this is interesting. I'm driving down the road, and I'm headed in one direction. And the Spirit of God speaks to me. I'm by myself. I travel. I'd load up my equipment in the trunk of my vehicle. I'd go. I'd set up, and people would just come. I'd minister. I'd sing. I'd prophesy. I was the whole ministry team. One man ministry team. And I was driving down the road, and this is prior to my first prophetic experience.
Okay.
I'm driving down the road one way, and the Spirit of God speaks to me and says, turn around and go back to where you came from. There's someone I want you to meet. So I U-turn my car right in the middle of the road. I U-turn my car, and I headed back. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go to this meeting. There was a meeting, a pastor evangelistic meeting is what I knew it as in town. The Lord spoke to me and said, go there. There's someone I want you to meet. So I thought, well, God wants me to meet someone. There's a door he wants to open for me to speak into. So I went, I sat in the middle maybe of the church section.
Mm-hmm.
And a pastor called me out, and an evangelist, mm-hmm. pastor evangelist. He was a pastor also, kind of the same background that I came. He was a pastor, but he would travel and evangelize, and he was evangelizing at this time. And he called me out, and he began to prophesy over me. Some of the most accurate word began to call out what I was anointed to do, mm-hmm. what God had called me to do. And I mean, I was just thinking, wow, that isn't God. Has God really called me to do that?
Yeah.
You know, is that really my call? And that was my first encounter. But God spoke to me and told me to turn around and go meet this guy. You know, not even meet the guy. Go sit in the church. I'm just sitting there. He just calls me out of the blue. Never met me in his life. Had no idea who I was. I had no idea who he was other than this pastor, evangelist pastor ministering. Call me out, prophetically spoke into my life, and asked me then to go and minister in his church. And I thought, wow, God, I'm hearing so accurate.
Yeah,
He wants me. He wanted me to meet this man because he wanted me to go and speak in his church.
Right.
And it's true, and I did. But who God really wanted me to meet was my bride to be.
Oh, you're kidding! Wow, so, are you serious?
Yeah. So we went, and I ministered in this church, and at the time I was talking about. The message, I called it the message of freedom. And the freedom meant we're free from sin, we're free from the devil. We don't have to live our life continually. Because, you know, you can grow up learning, you know, you're going to sin every day.
Yeah.
And and I get it. It's not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ lives in us.
Right.
And he said, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, lay down your life and take up my cross and follow me. So that was my heartbeat. So I was teaching a lot of, you don't have to fight the devil, which was not a popular message at the time.
I bet.
There just wasn't. And still today, not so much always.
We had much fun.
Yeah.
Beating that tambourine on the devil's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was proficient at it early on.
Mm-hmm.
Until God revealed to me, hey, you're spending a lot of time.
You were a professional at it?
Yeah, I was a professional devil fighter, demon chaser. I was really good at it. And I did a lot of it. And God said, hey, you're fighting the battle I've already won. So anyway, I went and I ministered to this church. And a man that I had met prior to ministering in the church brought his daughter up. And he said, this is my daughter, Donna. And I said, bless, met her. And later on, he asked me to come and minister at their young people's meeting. So I went there, and there is my wife. I didn't know she was my wife, but that's actually who God wanted me to meet. I met Donna through the voice of prophecy, the voice of the Lord that spoke to me, told me what to do, instructed me, turned around, met a man that prophesied to me, and then asked me to go to a church, his church, and minister. And there God had prepared the woman he wanted me to meet, which was my wife. And her dad introduced her to me.
Wow.
So it's so aligned by God, so God-driven, so prophetically led. And of course, I have been... I have been an embracer of prophecy. I am completely, totally convinced that the prophetic word of God is alive today, present, and very powerful, very necessary, a very pivotal point of everyone's life when God wants to turn you in a specific direction, as he literally turned me around. And we're married going on 45 years next month. And it's been one incredible, wonderful journey. I mean, I literally met the girl of my dreams. And we have two daughters, and as you know.
Yes.
And prophecy has directed my life as well as to where we are today. God spoke to me prophetically and told me where to come, what things were going to look like, and I'm living it today.
I want one more story. How you ended up here. You Arizona, right? You grew up.
Yeah, we were in Arizona. My wife Donna, she's from Arizona, born in Arizona, and we had been ministering, and there was just an unrest in me. I knew God was doing something, and I had an unrest on the inside of me, and I just felt moved by God to go take a step. So I'm going to cut through some of the story because it's pretty lengthy. We ended up going to meet Matt and Lori Crouch. God had given me a prophetic word for them back sometime prior went into a meeting, which is typically not what I do. There was a meeting there, and we hadn't known each other. I didn't know Matt that well. My wife had grown up with Lori, so they had a relationship from the time they were really young teenagers. So anyway, I had given them a word. I had went home. I had come out here to California, given them a word, came home, and God had spoken to them through me, came home, I'm done, I'm finished. I get a call from Matt, and he wants me to rehearse that word that I had given to him, because there was nothing, we didn't record it, it was just a quick brief, hey, God gave me a word, here's a word for you, and I'm gone. So he calls me back, and he wants that word, and I'm thinking, I don't know that word. I can't, how am I supposed to remember that word?
Yeah.
And so I got on the phone with him, and as soon as he said, hey, it's Matt, da-da, the word came back to me, and I just began to prophetically share with him what God had said to me. And they had given us an invitation, come out, you know, you should come out and basically kind of see what everything is about. So we thought, yeah, we'll do that. Well, I had a dream. I had a dream shortly after that. I had a dream about their home, where they lived. I'd never seen their home. I had never been out to the area where they were, which at that time was out in Burbank, in the Hollywood area. And so in this dream, I saw my wife and myself driving up a road that led to their home. I saw their driveway, their vehicles. I saw the outside of their home. I said some things prophetically in the dream and woke up and went, wow, that is crazy. So we shortly after that went, stayed in a hotel there in Hollywood, and we were going to meet with them. I didn't meet with them for lunch. And Lori had called Donna, and they were talking, and Lori said, where are you staying? We told her. She said, you can probably see our house from here. And so she was describing where their house was. And based on her description, or our perspective of her description, we couldn't find it. And I'm looking out there thinking, man, if the house in my dream actually existed, wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
Rather than just kind of, you know, just a
abstract.
Like here's a home. You're going to go there. This home really doesn't exist, but it's kind of a, it's just kind of a finger pointing in the direction. Here's a sign, go this way. So I open the window and I'm looking, and Donna's on the phone with Lori, and she's describing where they live. And we looked and looked and went, oh, I just can't see it. They must be too far away. So they hung up the phone, and I thought, oh, that would have been cool if that were actually a dream. Then I would know I am in the right place prophetically at the right time, and God does want us to move here and do, you know, what God has moved on our hearts to do. So she hung up the phone, and I'm thinking, man, it'd been awesome. And the drapes on the right side had been pulled just a bit. They weren't all the way open. So I pushed the drapes open, and I looked out, and I just froze. There was the house in my dream.
Wow.
So I told Don, I said, call Lori back and ask her if the house right there, described, there's a red roof just below them, there's this, there's that, and then this, here's the driveway is what stood out. Ask her if that's their home, if that's their home. We'd been looking all over out in here based on the conversation and the description. Ask if that's their home. So she called and asked, and she said, yes, we're out here in the driveway. We could see them out there waving then. And Donna just crumbled and just went into tears, because I had already described to her in the dream, or described to her what I saw in the dream. And then when I pulled those drapes back, I said, that's the house in my dream. So when Lori confirmed that was the house, again, prophetic word, direction. My life has been a prophetic page turned one after another, and just watching God unfold prophetically. So I have a great deal of faith and confidence in the prophetic word of the Lord, because my life has been governed by it. My two daughters, God showed me my two daughters in a dream probably 5 years before we even had two daughters, same age difference. So God has walked me through prophetically in my own journey, in my own life, the reality, the power, the accuracy, the authority, and also the character and the nature of prophecy. So I've learned a great, great deal. I'm so thankful to God for allowing me to not just learn through the word what prophecy is, which is incredible, but to actually experience my own journey of prophecy. And there are many, 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 many more. But that was my introduction to prophecy, and then seeing God just unfold so dramatically in a lot of cases, and that's subtly in others, but nonetheless, very, very profoundly impactful in my life. Yeah.
Oh, let me ask you this, and this may not even make sense. I know that if I said to you, hey, tell me what prophecy is, but I think there's some confusion about what it's not.
Yeah.
Well, what is it not? Can we ask that question?
Yeah,
what is it not?
It's not a crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not hocus pocus. It's not prestidigitation. Mm-hmm. It's not some magic trick. I like very much to describe it based on Revelations 19:10, where John is caught up in a revelation, mm-hmm. and he comes before the angel, and the angel speaks to him. And John drops down to his knees, and the angel says, "Don't do that."
Mm.
He said, "I'm a brother just like you. You know, we are hungry is the way I say it. We are hungry for the revelation of Christ, the fullness of who Christ is." And he says, "Worship God."
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "The spirit of prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ." Or the revelation of Jesus Christ.
The spirit of prophecy.
Is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So knowing who Christ in you is prophecy. Mm-hmm. Because God has ordained us to live an incredible life of salvation, righteousness. But salvation is the beginning. Salvation is where we begin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relationship. So prophecy is relationship with Christ.
Mm.
Prophecy is worship. Mm-hmm. Prophecy is surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, relationship takes place. Prophecy is relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
It's hearing the heartbeat of God, hearing God instruct you. Like you have children.
Yeah.
You're a dad. You've instructed your children. Yeah. Without them hearing you, without that relationship, how could you instruct them? You know, how could you teach them anything? How could they learn anything from dad?
Yeah.
So worship God. Prophecy is worship God. It's knowing Christ. Mm. Who is he? It's not a crystal ball. It's not, hey, I need a word from God. I need a word from God. Well, we need a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
We need to worship God. We're created to be worshipers. Yeah. All mankind, all humanity, we are all proficient worshipers. We worship something, all of us, whether it's God himself, or religion, which is not God.
Mm-hmm.
It's something different. We worship idols, our own idols. Idols aren't just silver, gold, or wood. Idols are the imagination of mankind, the imagination of flesh, which is enmity against God. So he tells us, put away idols.
Mm-hmm.
But prophecy is worshiping God and not ourselves.
Yeah.
I need a word. I need this.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to say is, God, what do you need from me? What do you want from me? Now, God doesn't need anything, but he created us as worshipers.
Yeah.
And so we're going to worship. People worship business, money, themselves, you know, fame, something. Everyone is going to worship. We are built, we are created to worship. And it's who we worship that transforms. So out of Revelations 19:10, worship God. That's the spirit of prophecy. Revelation of Christ. What is that? Know him better. Know him more. Seek him. He said, if you seek for me, you'll find me. And if your heart is set to know God, listen, I didn't know what prophecy was when God began to speak through me. I just heard the voice of God, and I read that you could share if God spoke to you. His word is life and power. If God spoke to you, be confident enough to say it. Be bold enough. And it takes faith. It always takes faith.
Right.
Because, you know, am I going crazy?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, am I losing my mind?
Yeah.
If I say this, is it accurate? Is it right? I know what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So it all requires faith.
Yeah.
We're created to live by faith, and we're made to be worshipers. Mm-hmm. So the key to prophecy is Christ, a relationship.
It comes
worship
through
God.
That born-again experience. And that relationship with Christ.
Totally.
That worshiping the Lord.
Always.
So all of the things that people see and we have deemed the prophet, right? I got the word. Yeah. He spoke so accurately about my life. They've diminished it.
Some cases.
Right, to that.
Yeah, think about a prophet.
But they just want that part and they don't have what it really is.
You have to have the heart to hear what it is.
Yes.
So think about a prophet as someone that just listens. I just listen. I've tried to tune my ear to the voice of God, and that requires a lot of things, probably another podcast, but it requires some things, let's say. It requires knowing how to position your mind. We have dominion over that. God's given us that power. But it's not a matter of looking in a crystal ball, I need a word, I need a word. If someone wants and needs a word, and I get it, you know, I've had times where I'm like, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear from him every day.
Yes.
But the key that unlocks that door of prophecy is, God, what is your will? Jesus said, not my will, your will be done. And he said, pray. He said, you want to learn how to pray? Because the disciples said, teach us to pray. He said, I'll teach you to pray. Pray, Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done. So every prayer should begin with thankfulness and, God, what is your will? Your will be done. And mean it. Your will be done. Because what that does is then it opens you up to asking the right questions, as opposed to walking around aimlessly trying to figure out what God wants to do in your life when maybe you're headed in the wrong direction. I was headed in the wrong direction, but God spoke to me, told me, turn around. There's someone I want you to meet. There's something I have to say to you.
Yes.
And there's something I want you to say. And I have your bride. He didn't tell me that. I had no idea it was my wife. He just said, someone I want you to meet. That's all he said. It's kind of like when he spoke to Elijah, and he said, just go show yourself to Ahab. Just go show yourself. And he says, and I'm going to end the drought. Well, a whole lot, deal more happened than just showing himself. But you just take that step and you obey God. So
I call it the breadcrumbs. That's something.
Yeah, follow the crumbs. You're hungry, you'll follow him.
God told me just learn to rest and trust in the breadcrumbs. And then later he took me back to the prayer where he says, give me this day.
Yeah.
The daily word, the daily bread.
Daily bread.
You know, and so I said, oh, wow, God, I see that. And I have more faith for the breadcrumb today than I do tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's what I've been, I find myself, I mean, yes, you can get excited about maybe a vision or something great that—
This is the day.
Yeah, but there's something, I have strong faith for the word of today. Yeah. And I can live with peace and joy because I have the daily bread.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's enough.
Oh, it's—
It's enough.
You know, and even that word, it's enough. It's like, enough? Everything else is less than enough. Yeah. Everything else is inadequate.
Yeah.
Enough. His word is the eternity. Yeah. It's the bread. It's the meal. It's the banquet. It's the river of life. It's everything.
Mm-hmm.
His word is so more than enough. He says it like this. He said, "I had an experience a week or so ago. Just a insight, a moment of revelation, but." He said, when they asked Jesus, you know, he's talking about, you know, bread. He says, my bread is to do the will of the Father. That's what fills me.
Hmm.
And so more than enough, I think, doesn't even adequately describe what it is. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
I say the same thing. It's more than enough.
Yes.
But he's more.
He's more. Yes.
More.
Yes.
So much more.
Yes.
So much exceeding, abundant, and beyond all you know to ask or think.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about the word. The word is prophecy. There isn't any prophetic word that goes beyond the boundaries of the word.
Yes.
But what we see is God identifying something specific that he wants us to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to think in relationship to what that word actually means.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times people address the prophetic or they address the prophet in a way that there's something I want and I need God to tell me about this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may be, if you will, if God had a last thing on his mind, that might be the last thing on God's mind. He may have something, and always does, way more interesting and way more important to tell us.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times that question or that need we have changes, or sometimes it just evaporates because what God literally wants to tell us just makes that seem so unimportant and so unnecessary that we change our minds. So prophecy isn't just, I'm coming to get my answer. Prophecy is, God, what's on your heart that's going to give me the attitude that you have for me today? What's my relationship? Prophecy is all about relationship with the Father, relationship with Christ, and how to believe. We need our faith to believe in engaging or to engage with that prophetic word.
Yeah.
And I think we could talk about this forever, but probably this would be a good time to say, Devon.
Yeah. And Devon. When we come back.
Thank you.
We're gonna come back for a little bit more.
Let's do it.
I want to play a video for you.
All right.
With some things that you spoke about 20 years ago.
Okay.
That we're now living out.
Mm.
And I loved the way you ended it, because how you ended it is how we named our organization.
Wow.
Which we didn't see back then. So.
That's the key. We didn't see back then. Maybe we maybe we begin the next podcast we do together.
Yes.
We didn't see that. God bless. Devon, thanks always for joining me.
Pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Always a joy.
Always.
And until next time, remember, this is the greatest season of your life. You have the power to seize it. I say, see it. I see it by faith. Say it. I say what God has said, and I seize it according to his will. This is the greatest season of your life. God bless. Until next time.